From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. Among the questions to face Alaskan voters at the polls November 8th is a $16.9 million general obligation bond proposal to finance the construction of new buildings and facilities for the University of Alaska and its six community colleges. What will these funds be used for? Why are they needed? These are the questions that we will discuss today on This Is Your University. The University of Alaska is a state university charged by the legislature with providing higher education for everyone in the state. In the past 10 years, enrollment has grown rapidly, both on the main campus and at the community colleges throughout the state. On-campus enrollment this semester is 1,876 students, more than three times the number enrolled in 1956. To meet the needs of this soaring enrollment and of a growing state, the university has undergone an expansion program. New academic buildings and dormitories have been constructed. The community college program was established to offer higher education courses for Alaskans who could not leave their communities to attend school at the main campus. The proposed bond issue would continue this program of expansion, needed now more than ever because of the rising enrollments. The bond issue would provide $8,500,000 for a library, humanities, and fine arts complex, $5 million for community colleges facilities in Anchorage, Juneau, and Ketchikan, $2,500,000 in matching funds for a geophysical institute building, and $900,000 for paving roads, walks, and parking areas on the main campus. Construction of the library, humanities, and fine arts complex was originally planned to begin in 1966. However, plans for the complex were shelved when the state had to allocate almost all of its bonding capacity to rehabilitation programs after the Good Friday earthquake in 1964. The present library was designed to house 80,000 books. Today, however, the library has over 140,000 volumes and is adding more at the rate of 25,000 each year. As more books come in, the library will be forced to eliminate portions of the already inadequate seating and study areas to gain additional shelf space. The proposed humanities and fine arts complex would provide badly needed classrooms and office space. It would also provide specialized facilities for programs in such fields as radio, journalism, speech therapy, music, and drama. These programs are now severely hampered because the specialized facilities don't exist. The present Geophysical Institute building was designed to house a staff of 60 persons. Today, the Institute has a staff of 210 and has been forced to find office and laboratory space in temporary trailers and in other campus buildings. Until more office and laboratory space is available, the Institute will be unable to expand present programs or undertake any new ones. The university's community college program, like similar programs throughout the nation, is growing rapidly. The six community colleges enrolled 4,361 students last year. This year, the Anchorage College alone has an enrollment of 1,912. All six colleges are now housed in rented quarters, five whole classes in public school buildings that can be used only during the evening. The bond issue would provide funds to construct facilities for the three largest colleges located in Anchorage, Juneau, and Ketchikan. $900,000 in the bond issue would be used to pave roads, parking areas, and walks for the main campus. Campus streets are now in poor condition and require constant and costly maintenance. These, then, are the factors underlying the university's bond proposal. In its simplest terms, the proposal would authorize the university to continue to meet the higher educational needs of all Alaskans. The University of Alaska is your university. It needs your support if it is to keep pace with the growth of your state. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed program offered by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University of From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. Fall enrollment on the main campus at the University of Alaska has climbed to a new high of 1,879 students this year, nearly 16% above last year's enrollment. The students have come to the university from numerous communities throughout Alaska, most of the lower states, and 13 foreign countries. The students and where they come from, our story today on This Is Your University. As a state land-grant college, the University of Alaska's main purpose is to provide higher education for the citizens of Alaska. A large part of the student body, nearly 79%, comes from within the state. These 1,487 students represent 102 communities from all over Alaska. The largest group of students come from Fairbanks, 576 strong. Anchorage, Alaska's largest city, has the next largest representation with 201 students. Other Alaskan communities with strong representation in the student body are College with 177 students, Juneau with 44, Eielson with 32, Fort Wainwright with 29, and Kodiak and Palmer each with 23 students, and Sitka with 20 students. Most of the smaller Alaskan communities also have students attending the university. There are students from Metlakatla in the south, from Barrow in the north tip of Alaska, from Tok Junction on the Alaska Highway, from Adak in the Aleutians, and St. Paul and St. George's in the Pribilof Islands. The western mainland is also represented by students from Shishmaref on the Seward Peninsula and Port Hyden on the Alaska Peninsula, to name just two communities. On the stateside scene, 43 of the lower states are represented in the university student body. California with 61 as the largest delegation, followed by Washington with 28 and New York with 24. There are 7 students from the District of Columbia and the U.S. Canal Zone in Panama. 13 countries are represented by 36 foreign students at the university. They come from Austria, Canada, China, Denmark, Germany, India, Japan, Nigeria, Pakistan, Peru, Philippines, Sweden, and Yugoslavia. The biggest group on campus is, of course, the freshman class. There are 672 freshmen, 436 men, and 236 women. Other class totals are 209 sophomores, 189 juniors, and 146 seniors. In addition, there are 133 graduate students, 244 students without class standing, 192 transfer students, and 92 postgraduate students. Students at the University of Alaska represent a cross-section of the states, the nation, and the world. They have all gathered at the university to learn and to prepare themselves for the future. The students, our story today on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. The program was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. Two years ago, a small band of muskoxen were transferred to the University of Alaska from their home on Nunavik Island for the development project aimed at domestication of these animals. If the project is successful, it may be the backbone of a valuable new industry for the Alaskan native peoples. The muskox produces a fine, soft underwool called kiviute, considered by textile experts to be one of the world's finest fibers. The wool is as soft as silk and finer than cashmere or vicuna. It is valued at about $50 a pound. Today we will discuss the current status of the muskox project on This Is Your University. Today we have with us Terry Hall, a member of the muskox project staff. Mr. Hall, could you bring us up to date on what's happening at the muskox project?
Well, just last week, we've concluded the first phases of our initial breeding program through selective breeding, which actually is the crux of any experiment of this kind. And with this behind us, I guess you could say the project is now really underway.
Well, what do you mean underway? I thought you started 2 years ago.
Well, before you can start any commercial muskox raising, of course, you have to build up a sizable herd. Also, by selective breeding, we hope to build up those traits we feel would be desirable in a domestic muskox.
Well, what traits do you want, and how do you go about getting them?
The characteristics we're looking for eventually are for wool production, naturally, early maturity, size, and then temperament. For our first stab this year, we chose two of the bulls according to their size and temperament, and then put each bull in with a harem of six cows.
Well, how did they react?
Well, until we started the breeding program in September, we'd always kept the bulls and cows separated. However, when we put them together, we found that the bulls immediately changed their temperament.
What sort of a temperament change did they make?
Before, the bulls, as the cows, had always been docile and easily handled. After they had acquired a harem, however, they immediately became very protective, and we weren't able to handle the bulls as easily as we did before. One bull wouldn't let me enter the pen on foot, and we had to change our methods and use vehicles to move him around.
Would you call this a normal reaction?
Well, very definitely. When you consider any domestic bull, that is, with cattle, in a breeding program, they naturally will become very antagonistic. As a matter of fact, one of our bulls managed to open a gate and get in the pen with one of the harems. He defeated the bull in the harem, took over control, and within a matter of hours became very protective himself. When we returned him back to his own pen, however, he switched back to his normal behavior.
You said that you terminated the breeding program last week. What happened to the bulls and their harem?
We took the bulls away from their cows, put them back in their original groups, and then separated the bulls and the cows as we did originally into two larger groups.
How did they react to that?
Well, at first, when the bulls were readmitted to their own group of bachelors there, they had to fight their way back in to reestablish this pecking order, which is continually maintained. Once they did this, however, they settled down quite a bit.
Well, you've mentioned fighting a couple of times. Just how do they go about this?
Well, with bulls, the entire method is butting heads, of course. And it seems to be quite a ritual. They'll back off, wagging heads at each other, and then come together from 15 or 20 feet out with an alarming crash, as some of your wilder sheep and goats do. This goes on until one gives up and with a headache and usually goes away. However, with the cows, there's quite a different thing. There's quite a temper tantrum that goes on. They'll hit each other in the shoulders and push each other around as much as 20 or 30 feet back and forth until one or the other gives up.
Well, how successful do you feel this breeding program was?
We won't know, of course, until calves are born. We were not able to determine this year whether any cows ever came in heat, so that it will be until 8 or 9 months from now, next spring, until we determine how many calves are born, of course. We hope eventually we'll be able to increase the herd through this selective breeding to about 100.
Well, Mr. Hall, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to come here today and for bringing us up to date on what's happening at the Muskox Farms. We've been talking with Terry Hall of the University of Alaska Muskox Project on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quinn. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. In 1960, the state legislature authorized the University of Alaska to establish an Institute of Marine Science to advance knowledge of the seas, with particular emphasis on northern problems. Today, the Institute has a staff of over 45 people, working both on the main campus and at the Douglas Marine Station near Juneau. There has been increasing interest in the Institute's research, and many people have been asking just what is being studied and for what specific purposes. These are the questions we will begin to answer today on This Is Your University. We have with us today Dr. John Gehring, Associate Professor of Marine Science at the University of Alaska. Dr. Gehring, there seems to be a lot of misconceptions about your research and why you study what you do. Could you explain a little about the Institute of Marine Science program?
We study oceanography at what you might call the primary level, currents, temperatures, and how in the sea these small microscopic plants, the algae, create organic compounds such as proteins, fats, and sugars using the energy of natural light in a process termed photosynthesis.
Well, why is that? Will that benefit the fishing industry more than, say, a direct study of the fishes themselves?
Well, yes, because the fish are only the end result of a long chain that begins with these basic events. It is often more valuable to start a study at the beginning and follow the chain of events through than to start with the end result and try to work backwards.
When you say that the fish are the end product, do you mean that they are directly dependent on what happens at the primary level, as you call it?
Well, very much so. In simple terms, this chain of events goes something like this. The algae, by photosynthesis, manufacture sugar from carbon dioxide and water in the presence of chlorophyll, using light energy and releasing oxygen, the same as plants do on land. And these algae then supply food for zooplankton, such as very small shrimp, which in turn are the food source for small, strainer-feeding fish such as herring or young salmon. Larger fish, like mature salmon, feed on the herring, and still bigger creatures like sharks or seals eat the salmon.
Well, this sounds like a long and involved process. Is it very efficient?
No, I'm afraid not very. From 80 to 90% of the total food value is lost at each level.
You mean it takes from 10 to 20 pounds of herring to make 1 pound of salmon?
Yes, that's right. If you carry the chain down still further, it would take about 100 pounds of zooplankton or about 1,000 pounds of algae to produce 1 pound of salmon. So you can see that your salmon yield is very dependent on what the little microscopic algae do.
Would you say this is a very profitable or effective means of food production?
Well, basically, it's the same cycle that you have on land. Plants grow by making organic matter through photosynthesis. An animal eats the plants, and we eat the animal.
You also mentioned current studies. Why are they important?
Well, by studying the currents, we can see how they affect this cycle. An area of upwelling was discovered in the Bering Sea near the Aleutians during a cruise of the university's research vessel, the Acona. An upwelling is where cold, nutrient-rich bottom waters rise to the surface of the sea. And this water acts as a fertilizer. If conditions are right, algae immediately start growing. Most of the known upwelling regions in the world are important fishing areas. By studying the currents, we hope to be able to follow the movement of these algae-rich waters and find out where they go. And this may help us to understand more about the productivity of Alaskan waters.
Well, Dr. Gehring, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us today. We've been talking with Dr. John Gehring of the Institute of Marine Science on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station, KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. In 1960, nearly 60% of all Native students in Alaska dropped out of school before completing the eighth grade. Nearly 50% of those students remaining dropped out before they completed high school. Of those students who were graduated from high school and entered college, nearly 50% dropped out before the end of their freshman year, and only about 2% were expected to graduate at the end of 4 years. Why do these students, after surviving an abnormally high dropout rate in elementary grades and high school, fail to meet the challenges of college? What can be done to help them? This is our story today on This Is Your University. We have with us today Professor Lee Salisbury, head of the Speech, Drama, and Radio Department of the University of Alaska, and coordinator for COPAN, the College Orientation Program for Alaska Native Students. Professor Salisbury, to start things off, would you explain exactly what COPAN is?
Basically, COPAN is a program sponsored by the University of Alaska and the Bureau of Indian Affairs under a grant from the U.S. Office of Education to help prepare Native students for college.
Well, what exactly is their problem? Why do these students, who can obviously meet the academic standards, have such a difficult time with college?
Well, the problem seems to be a dual one of both attitude and upbringing. Many students come to the university with a defeatist or fatalistic attitude. They expect it to be too tough for them. And, of course, when the going gets rough, they become discouraged and quit. In addition, many of the students have trouble expressing themselves properly in English. They're afraid to express an opinion because they think they'll say it incorrectly. And, of course, an important factor in this whole problem is the fact that many of them come from cultures where to express an opinion is not an accepted social norm. So the result is that they say nothing.
What does COPAN do to solve these problems?
COPAN is designed to help the students gain self-confidence and help them to learn to express themselves.
How do you get about doing this?
Well, the COPAN students come to the university for a 6-week summer program. While they're here, they stay with Fairbanks area families so that they can participate in and become familiar with the home life in our society. As far as the program itself goes, the students attend classes and discussion groups which will help them to adapt to college life.
What sort of classes do they attend?
There are classes in language and communication, classes on the cultural anthropology of the Alaska Native peoples, and classes on contemporary social problems.
Why the social problems classes?
Well, in these, the students learn of the social problems which confront other groups. They can then relate these to the problems of their own peoples. They discover very often that their problems are not as unique as they thought they were.
Well, what about the discussion groups? What do you discuss?
Well, at first we start by discussing what's been covered in class, but gradually, as the students gain confidence, they begin to generate their own topics for discussion. Then sometimes we have Native leaders come in and talk with the students, and these sessions generally develop into very lively discussions.
Do you feel COPAN is helping these students?
Yes, I think so. It's still pretty early to say so conclusively. Our sample is small, and we've only been running the program for 3 summers now. But we're pleased with the results. At the end of the course, the kids seem to show a much more positive attitude toward themselves and toward the society which they're entering. They're more confident and self-assured.
Well, Professor Salisbury, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to come and talk with us today. We've been talking with Professor Lee Salisbury, COPAN coordinator at the University of Alaska, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. The University of Alaska's varsity basketball team, the Polar Bears, or Nanooks as they're called, have been around for many years, but in the past most of their games have been played against local military and city teams in the Fairbanks area. This year the Nanooks are playing a 21-game all-college season. Although most of the games will be played in Fairbanks, there will also be two stateside tours and games in Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka. The Nanooks, our story today on This Is Your University. We have with us today Mr. Fred Kroll, the Nanook coach, and we'd like to ask him a few questions just about the coming season. Mr. Kroll, how many home games will you be playing this year?
This year we'll be playing 11 home games at college. We also consider two games in Sitka and Juneau as home games also for Alaskan people.
Well, what is the basketball program here at the university aimed towards? What are your goals?
We feel that our goals are modest in attempting to bring outstanding college basketball to the state of Alaska. This is why we feel it's important to not only play in the college area, but take our teams to southeastern and western Alaska.
Well, could you give us somewhat of a breakdown of the basketball team this year? Are there any Alaskans playing on the team, or are most of the people from the lower 48?
Well, we have a 21-man squad, and out of 21 men, we have 10 boys from Alaska. Some of the more prominent boys that are returning after 3 years of service are Mike Tarjainen from Kenai. Western Alaska people have an opportunity to see him play a lot of basketball. And also we have Mel Brown from Unalakleet, and he played high school ball at Mount Edgecombe and had several state records down there. Those are two of the outstanding Alaskans we have. And also we have a couple freshmen that are doing real fine work for us. Alvin Stevens, who I consider the finest guard in high school basketball last year at Lathrop High School in Fairbanks, is doing an outstanding job for us this year, and we'll see a lot of action.
Well, Mr. Kroll, can you give us somewhat of an idea what your training program is like?
Well, we take our training very seriously, and we initiated for the first time a preseason training program that consisted of outdoor trainings, and it began the first day of school. It consisted of soccer and rugby and water polo and weightlifting and individual work, and it was really enjoyable to our team, and they were able to get in top condition before the actual season started. Since October 15th, we've began our actual basketball practicing, and now we're just getting ready for our season.
Well, 21 games, that sounds like a very full season. I understand you're planning on playing in several of the cities around the state of Alaska and also going outside. Is that correct?
That's correct. We open up December 2nd and 3rd against Alaska Methodist University in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, we travel to Juneau and Sitka and play Eastern Washington State College, which is a real fine school which represents the Evergreen Conference in the state of Washington. And I think people in Southeastern will have an opportunity to see some real fine basketball. In the past, the university has always taken a long barnstorm-type trip throughout many states in the lower 48, and they've missed a lot of classes. And this year, we're cutting down our trips to two short trips, and it'll be less expensive, and also I think we can play a lot better basketball.
Well, how is AMU looking this year? This is your first game.
Well, I've read several press releases from head coach Jim Brown of Alaska Methodist, and they think they have the best team they've ever had in the history of the school. They have one big 6'7". Youngster playing for them and several fine guards, so I think they're going to give us a real fine match.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in your upcoming season, Mr. Kroll, and thank you for coming in and talking with us today. We've been talking with Coach Fred Kroll, the Nanook coach
of the University of Alaska basketball squad. This Is Your University is a recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.